I did load the presentation on the desktop, but no one was in the room when I came. So I'll be presenting the results of another effort that was carried out within the EGMEEP project, and with the goal of looking at soil processes and the effects of continuous runs on yield. And it's also a larger effort, and I would like to acknowledge of the co-authors contributing to both with the analysis running the model, but especially Benjamin Dumont, my postdoc, who has helped me significantly in doing the analysis of this work, which is in the process of being submitted to a journal. So the when we decided to run this, plan this exercise, we all were on the same page, agreeing how important the soil is when it comes to creating adaptation measurement as well as mitigation. We all agree that 20 years from now, the soils that we're cultivating now will be different depending on the type of management and cropping system that they're done on that. And in regards to mitigation, if we can't understand the carryover effects on mineralization and the amount of nutrients, then the management, the adaptive management, will also be limited. And so a full mitigating, be able to apply less nitrogen in areas where, there is a sufficient, we will never be able to capture that if we don't, include this in the simulation. So crop models in the past, and not by necessarily a mistake, they always had the goal of quantifying the signature from the weather. So because of that, they were reinitialized every year just to look at the weather impact and return, rerun the model under different weather sequences to the same initial conditions. So an additional piece of rationale in running the models to look at soil processes was to look them in a sequential mode, and trying to look at not longer in isolation, but more into a continuous system. And so again, most of the study done with correct approach to having weather quantified as an impact was 94%, and so that gave us a stronger rationale to be able to account the carryover effects, what is left at the end of the season, and continue both, because some variables have a long-term dynamics, obviously, like soil carbon and so on. Another aspect that it's very important to consider is to be able to properly initialize the model. And when it comes to different models doing this process, that becomes more difficult to compare because the approaches are rather different, but it's important to account for, the different sizes in the pool as function of land use done on that field. Furthermore, in the exercise, we looked at tillage, so more emphasis on the management, because there is a continuous feedback and impact on soil properties, obviously modifying bulk density, available water, and so on. Ideally, models need to be able to have a feedback that over time, if you're increasing carbon or decreasing carbon, some of the soil biophysical property at least have to be either reevaluated, adapted, and so on. And we make a lot of assumption and initial conditions, so there's based on rationale, but it's very important to know the exploitable rooting depth. And because that's one of my core field of research within the modeling aspect, understanding spatial variability of soil processes is also very important. So I just recently published, it's coming out in the December issue, very comprehensive a literature review of how much the models were tested, and that this an additional point at why we need to look at how models predict both different soil processes, because in this they came significantly less in terms of counts compared to the other testing of the models. That's in Advances in Agronomy. So the objectives of the EGMEEP soil and crop rotation was really to look at this long-term crop model within the year and between years variability. And we started with the maize and wheat fallow, which were as you heard from Ken, the initial pilots have been really studied thoroughly and under different management in this case that we included tillage, with the goal of evaluating carryover effects and the interaction of soil climate management on this agronomic output, both yields and environmental soil organic carbon and soil nitrates and so on. So the participating models were different in maize and wheat. We had 5 maize models and 7 or 8 wheat models. The sites were pretty spread out globally, Brazil, France and Tanzania and Iowa, the US in, for maize, Argentina, Australia, India and the Netherlands for wheat. The factors that we used were for each of the 4 sites. We had different temperature regimes at -3 baseline and then 3 degrees increase increment, +3, +6, and +9, and then no tillage, conventional tillage, and under different CO2 concentration. And then for the wheat, we had a nitrogen experiment that we didn't necessarily run it here. And for the maize, there was a rain baseline experiment. So some of the results that we found was still, positive, at least that the model converged in terms of response. They all agree that yield will be declining as temperature increases for the 4 sites, the 8 sites together for, as you see, the different colors there. Moving to the panel B, transpiration is also has a, this is for per millimeter for 30 years per degree of increase, and is going to decrease in favor of, because of the yield reduction, more towards the soil, greater soil evaporation. So ET won't necessarily change, but there's more towards the soil evaporation. The interesting finding, which could have implication, is because of the quick mineralization losses of soil carbon, soil nitrates, all the model agreed again, in the direction, not necessarily in some of the magnitude, in the ranges, that there is an increase of soil nitrates by under increasing temperature. And the relative changes of soil organic carbon after 30 years, all the models for all the crop, the 2 crops agreed in having changes from the initial value. Then again, just to see as a contribution that wasn't ever proposed, except one single example that I recently had it in PLOS1 just a few months ago, the comparison between reinitialized and sequential runs when it comes to under increasing temperature, so wheat with +3 degrees and maize, and you see the 2 curves. The dotted line is the reinitialized, and the solid is the continuous. The shaded gray area is the spread around the continuous. So they do give different results at times, but and for sites. The interesting thing to see is that when you run the continuous, while the initialized stays pretty much level in some sites like Tanzania or India, Argentina, the continue has a slow decline. So we wanted to capture the biases, the differences between how much yield was produced under the reinitialized minus the continuous minus the reinitialized. So when you see a positive, this for all the sites in wheat together for all the temperature regimes, the panel A, and then you see Argentina had a cumulative continuous run gave a greater, more in favor of continuous, while all the others had greater yield in the reinitialized. So basically informing us that we put water back and nitrogen back when the continuous run were showing both signs of the decreases. So this is for the 2 crops in the A and B, but if we look at the signal from the temperature increase, then for wheat, all the models agreed that as the temperature increases, then the differences, the biases, will go down. So the favor, +9, it provides a greater, they almost tend to get closer in the first, you know, few degrees, but then when they become plus 6 and plus 9, you have a greater divergence again. The D is for maize, and that's separated between the irrigated and rain-fed, even though, you know, the rain-fed is still, you know, possibly a sufficient amount of rain, but that provided, you know, more contribution towards the continuous versus the reinitialized. So for the first, for the cooler temperature, you'll see that there is a much higher increase towards the continuous, and then it tends to flatten out the difference between the two as temperature increases. All the models and all the sites and crops agreed in having decline of soil organic carbon as a temperature increase. So this is very, I think, encouraging results, at least that the models predict the same trends. And sometimes, again, yes, there are differences. Only in France, when it's cooler, there is an accumulation of residues. The others, despite the accumulated, the cooler temperature, they still lost soil carbon. And now, if we want to extract how much of, was a soil carbon or, you know, the feedback of the yield, obviously a combination of the two, we had to separate the maize rain-fed from the irrigated. And you see the blue dot under cooler temperature and irrigated maize, there's very little loss because of the higher, yield and higher return of residues. And as the residues are returned in a smaller amount because of the decreasing yield, and as function of temperature, you see all the field back that, lower residues lead to higher losses of soil organic carbon, even for the irrigated maize. But there is a sharp decline in the dots, as you see, between 6 and 9. There is a sharp decline, but the carbon doesn't really change. And this is for 30 years, relative change. So this is, we're working on a paper, the supplementary material has many, many figures to really try to put this story together. And I think we learned a lot from this exercise. We also looked at different aspects of comparing what is the signal of, increasing CO2 versus, the baseline. And you see that the red dots are the variable under the new treatment. In this case, was 720. So the yield increased and transpiration decreased as a CO2 increase that you would hypothesize by having more CO2 coming in. The interesting here that confirms what we found is that the range of the red dots have changed when you moved from conventional tillage to no tillage, while the evaporation for the black dots remained much wider. So basically, soil evaporation is reduced when you move from conventional tillage to no tillage, and transpiration remains the same. In terms of changes when you move from conventional till to no till, all the models pretty well agreed that the temperature was the driving factor in the losses, and they were all in favor in terms of losing less carbon in the no tillage, as you see more in the curve, tilted towards the conventional tillage. So in conclusion, the models did show variability. There was, larger times for some variables. But overall, we really have to say that they converged in the responses. The finding where there were temperature increase models on average shows they show decrease in yield, increases in soil nitrates, which could have implication again for future nitrate leaching and water qualities, and decreases in both in soil carbon and soil nitrogen. So what I've learned, and I've always kind of been carrying this message, that it's very important that we improve and run models in sequential mode to be able to identify, adaptation strategy. And once we understand where the model diverges, it's been cut out, the source, only if we understand the sources of variability in some of these aspects, then we can lead to a model improvement within the sequential runs. Thank you very much for your attention.
And we have some time for questions. Before you ask a question, for everyone, please mention your name. That might help as well. Claudia.
Hello, Claudia.
So I can give you the straight answer to that, that each model is different, but the majority of the model had three pools. You know, we had Descent and Salus have a very similar approach in both three pools in the foam and three in the organic carbon. The others, the one from Europe, I am not 100% familiar how they handled, you know, the initial that they're supposed to report that, but the thing is that I don't necessarily think that it's our job to say what is a better approach. You know, you have to have three or one pool. I judge, you know, the results of what they think is their, you know, best approach. So then if they get to the same results with a more simplistic way and they are consistent, maybe we should be doing the same thing. So it's a something, then the tillage and, again, there is a lot of the differences in different models. I mean, I know, again, familiar with more models than others, but upseam may not have, unless they've changed over time, but they don't have a clay protection factor. So they may do things differently than others. So here we just, really, the goal was to show you have done such a good job in simulating yield, and can you do the same, can you reproduce conditions in soils, you know, over time. So we used with a fully calibrated what they were, you know, to use what they used for the pilots, and pretty much we didn't impose any changes in this stage. Just wanted to see how far off they could be. Then the improvements in the analysis will lead to that. But at this stage, we're just reporting what this pool of models have described. Yeah, yeah. No, that's a welcome and definitely a good suggestion. The thing is, each modeler, for some reason or another, thinks that that's the best approach that it uses. And we still, I think, with the goal of ACME, be able to say, if you run this model, then you get this response. And we want to make sure that there is some understanding of why they're getting there.
It's a good first step.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. We have spent time in, you know, proposing procedure for reinitializing, so it won't be fair for me to say, oh yeah, everyone should have more pools and initialize correctly. It's, again, it was a test of different models, and before we get into the details or put them on their case, it's, you need to learn more about how they do it. A very, very good point. The soil degradation, as you know, being familiar with the models within ACMIP, that can be done just by accounting, you know, soil losses in terms of soil carbon, I mean, soil fertility type of approach, but not necessarily erosion. So the losses, as physical losses of topsoils, and I don't think many of the models that we use will have that, you know, erosion component, except obviously EPIC was designed for that. But the soil degradation and losses of soil carbon, that's basically the goal, to see if you manage your system in this way, your carbon is going to be lost, you know, that percentage, then this is what the best thing you can do at this stage. It's almost too late. So we're trying to both, you know, understand and be able to predict how we can prevent it, and if it's late, then what is the best way to bring that carbon up and be able to adapt to the variability. But the soil erosion is a very good argument, but more models I need to look at.
Do we have a bit more time? It gives me a chance to ask the question to Bruno as well. I was interested to see if you can quantify the contribution in yield decline from temperature directly and indirectly from carbon. Can you say the decline is this, and half of that comes from one, and half of them comes via the change in organic carbon? Is that possible?
We could infer that because the carbon is much more of a longer, you know, process, the greater decline is function of temperature. And then the feedback comes from returning less residues. But it's not that if 1 year you have a very small fraction of losses of carbon, that will affect, also because the model don't quantify, you know, the feedback to the soil properties, that will hold less water. So they're still holding the same amount of water, so their losses of carbon is not necessarily feeding back into, and it's really the response of the temperature and the return of residues. That's why we show that curve, which I think is very informative, that the irrigation, which leads to a higher yield, at least you cope a little bit better with the temperature increase, but still not for the development, then you lose a little bit less, there is a sharp, while the others continue to lose as much as 40% in 30 years.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bruno.